We'll go ahead and get started.
All right, let's do it.
Wrightwood CSD board meeting in person. First time in 16 months. Thank you, everybody, for being here and the audience. Chuck, can we have the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Again, I have pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, let me, everybody's here except for Natalie. She's absent, but Sadie and Michelle, Chuck, and myself, and our interim general manager, Tammy, are here. So can I have an approval on the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Public comments. I did get your nice...
You got my email.
Yes, and I opened it, but I couldn't see anything in it.
Okay, well, a couple things. The email that I sent was regarding the committee that we had established. There were 9 people at the recent meeting first.
Talking to the mic more.
We have a bunk warning.
Is it on?
Hello.
Yeah, when you go that close.
Okay. Anyway, the procedure to establish the 501c3, the corporation, and so on and so forth, is going to happen this month. We have an attorney, a local attorney, who's going to help us with that at no charge. And so we'll be able to move forward, and I will keep you informed of the progress. And the first function that we're hoping to establish is a nutritional meal program, and we would then obviously utilize the kitchen for the license. We have to have an actual commercial kitchen to be able to receive the grants, so we'll be identifying this building for that particular purpose. And then we eventually want to expand into arts and crafts, entertainment, all those things that seniors like to do to keep busy, to get them out of the house, eventually transportation if we need to pick them up. But we're all excited about it, and we're all gung-ho. We're going to just get this thing done. So that's...
Thank you.
That's the big thing.
Good.
Obviously working with the CSD. The other items completely separate is it's Halloween coming up. There's going to be hordes of kids in the street with the parents, and you know the story. I thought it might be a good idea to have maybe a Halloween movie night in here. Get some of the kids off the street. The Lions can put on a little movie. We've got a projector, the screen, the whole works. So I'll be talking to Tammy about that, and that might be just a fun activity for the community. We won't charge anything. You know, you might have a little popcorn bag or something. So that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Any other comments or public comments? Okay. There's no agencies. I'll have to give some folks a call.
Yeah.
Consent calendar. Can I get the approval on the consent calendar?
What's that for, Leo?
Let me see here.
Oh, it's Leo.
Oh. I will back up.
Is the consent calendar the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm getting more of it.
Yeah.
That's usually we put that.
I don't know, we approved the consent calendar.
Yeah. Just in time.
Well, I'm glad I was going to be here on time, but I had to go to a car fire.
Oh, no. Do you want to go ahead and approve this first?
Oh, yeah, let's do this. Consent calendar.
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
And I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. We're going to go back one step to the public comments and agency reports. If you have anything to add on, because this is where we ask the agencies, the sheriffs, and the fire department to come in and talk. Please, you got to speak lively on the mic so it's all recorded.
I'm recording the news.
Introduce yourself.
You don't want people to be that close.
Yeah.
Good evening. Steve Tracy, Battalion Chief for San Bernardino County Fire Department for Division 5, which includes Wrightwood. So the only thing I really have to report is that the brand new snow cap that's scheduled to go to Station 14 is on schedule to be in service this winter. And then obviously we plan on upstaffing our ambulances during the snow season because of the impact of the resort. So other than that, it's been fairly quiet up here, which is a good thing. So that's in the report. Any questions?
And you're the battalion for this High Desert?
I am one of okay. Yeah, there's six of us.
Because I'm going to also request from the chief have an accounting of Wrightwood and all the service calls and things of that sort. I'll probably send a letter off to him to maybe have somebody come in and do a presentation on the calls, you know, all the accounting for our CSD and what it entails for San Bernardino County.
So I do know that there was somebody made a request recently.
Yes, that was probably me.
Okay, and so all of that information, most of it's been gathered, so you should be getting it soon.
Okay, yeah, because I would probably want, on an annual basis, like in August.
Sure.
Once a year, the.
You want to do it on the county fiscal year, or do you want to do it January to January?
No, county fiscal year. So just like us, yeah. So in like an August time frame, we would do that. It hasn't been done. I don't think it's ever been done for the residents here. And now that we're part of the CSD, I want to push for that. So we all have the numbers. And so our constituents here knows how much it costs and what is being spent here in our village of Wrightwood.
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
And I talked to Chief Corbin. He's the assistant chief for the division, so he's well aware of that already.
Okay.
And I believe he told me that this evening that most of that is done. I think he has a few more things for you, but you should be getting it shortly.
Okay, yeah, because then what I'll do is I'll put a special meeting together for the public.
Sure.
So then you guys could do a presentation, and if there's any questions, it'll be outside of our regular board meeting, but I just want to put something together for that.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll give you my business card.
Sure.
In case you have any questions.
And I greatly appreciate you being here because we haven't had much representation at all from the county fire.
Yeah.
We've had Zoom meetings. I can't remember the last time somebody from county has been here. The sheriff's department has been here every day. So I just, I'm so grateful that you're here.
Yeah, no problem.
That we've got the representation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to know, you mentioned that you're upgrading the ambulances or adding to them. What's that mean?
We're not upgrading.
No, it's a snow cap.
Every year during snow season, we upstaff an additional ambulance up in Wrightwood.
Oh, okay.
So we ensure that we have at least one ambulance in service for the community and then one ambulance for the resort.
Beautiful.
A lot of times, as you know, though, both of those ambulances...
Oh, yeah.
So both of those ambulances are tied up. Then we'll move an ambulance from Phelan up to Wrightwood.
Is that the Mutual Aid Beakley Station 10 down there? Or?
Well, it's all county fire. So yeah. They're all county fire resources. So we do is we just, once we get to drawdown, we'll move up an ambulance to ensure that there's an ambulance up to Wrightwood.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You guys, you're welcome to listen to the rest of our business, or you can leave now.
Just in case you get questions. Are you guys Zooming your meeting still?
No.
No.
We stopped. Okay. Thank you so much. Tammy, General Manager's meeting, or General Manager's report. Mr. Kennedy.
We need to put him on the roll call.
He's not... It's not. Yeah. Mr. Kennedy has just joined us. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Hey, Steve.
Forgot how to get here.
We're on item number six, Mr. Kennedy, Acting General Manager's report.
All right. Thank you. Apologize for being late.
All right.
Make sure you deduct it.
Things have changed a little bit since I did the report. The auditors, I've been working with them, and they have finally finished and submitted their final draft on Friday. So I was not able to get it in the packet and all that. So, finished that. And then on September 18th, we held that fundraiser at the Pharmacy Skate Park dedication. We raised approximately $2,900. The community will be using that money to possibly put up a dedication plaque and some benches. We still need to work out the details with the district and where placement and all that stuff. So,
who is the we?
The we is the community. It is not the CSD. So the wording, I think I might have not done.
No, I understand. I understand that. I'm just wondering, in the community, who is we? Who's making these decisions?
We have a group of volunteers who have been working on this. I kind of started the idea, and then there's a group that have taken over.
Okay.
So,
and you started this idea before the acting role?
Yes. This was brought to the board almost 2 years ago. I was secretary at the time. I brought it as a community member secretary, so I know right now that, yeah, I don't know what.
Part of this was obviously acknowledging the kid that died.
Correct.
But also to try to cut down on the vandalism of the spray painting his name every week and then us having to retake that off.
So. Yes.
Hopefully the plaque will eliminate it.
Honestly, the last, since Sadie cleaned up the park, we have really had no incidents. These kids, I think, are finally getting the message that we're here to kind of work with them, help, you know. I think the plaque, like you said, will make a huge difference because I haven't seen his name spray painted since. So hopefully, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I've also spoken with Henry Castro at SDRMA regarding the broken slide. She said the only way we can remove the slide is if it does not create another liability, and if we do, it will. So what we decided to do for now, since the park is going to be hopefully started in the spring, is just board it off and duct tape with some signs and, you know, do not use for now. And so far, that's held up. It's been up for a couple weeks now with no one breaking it down or tearing it apart or anything like that. With the winter months approaching, we've had some mentions of the short-term rental Airbnb issues. While they do bring in revenue, they do bring, you know, some secondary impacts. The cars are blocking driveways, left in the roads for the snow plows, trash left outside, and so on. These are all code enforcement violations, and the County of San Bernardino has implemented a short-term rental complaint system that tracks unpermitted short-term rentals. They have a hotline that's available 24 hours, 7 days a week. You give your complaints, they keep track of the houses, the issues, and so forth, so it's easier for them. So the number is 800-205-9417, and again, available 24/7. The igniter on our stove.
Hold on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kinney, I've got a question on that.
Sure.
We're getting, you know, our responsibilities are the streetlights, the sewer, the parks and recreation, so on and so forth, the seven powers. But we're getting more and more of these requests outside of our powers. How do we go about handling this? Because I just got another request about a tree. And we only have so much manpower. We can't be asking or to do follow up on all these things. What is the thoughts about how we should handle that? Because this is above and beyond. I talked to the code enforcement gentleman. He came into my restaurant, and we talked at length in regards to exactly what they're doing and what they have in place. Do we just start pushing off phone numbers, or do we get like CJ involved from the supervisor's cook's office? I don't know.
Both of those are good ideas. Obviously, the CSD doesn't have jurisdiction.
Right.
So okay. There isn't anything, unless the CSD were to activate the powers that you have, and that requires LAPCO approval and, you know, petitions LAPCO and LAPCO authorizing it. But until that point in time, the district has no ability to, you know, to engage in that. So I think referring it to the county is the right move.
Okay.
And you do have a contact with CJ, so I think both of those things are good ideas.
Okay. Because we're getting more and more of these things, and I think, you know, people think we're like the old Mac. We have direct conduit to them, but like the power lines, we don't have anything to do with power lines, and
right.
We're being asked to do so many write letters and things of that sort, but we don't have the manpower to jump into all these committees. So I think having the general manager help us out on pushing, gather some information. Yeah, we'll put some of that stuff on our website, but it needs to be forced to the county, because that's their role, not our role.
Yeah, it's not only that you don't have the manpower, it's you don't have the authority.
Yeah, we don't have the authority.
Right.
I just want to make sure that's clear, because we're getting more and more of these requests. I just got another one today about an old tree, and I just forwarded it over to you.
Okay.
I'm going,
I get it.
Okay. We do spend a lot of time, and we're a volunteer board up here. We do spend a lot of time. I know I spend, Chuck, we all spend a lot of time. I think I've spent more time the last 8 months than anything else, but it's just a challenge, and this is what I signed up for, and this is what we do. So I know Steve has mentioned that I mentioned to him that we continue to be a volunteer board, and that's what we want to keep it that way. We started back in 2017 with $14,000.
That's correct. And, you know, the board could, you know, have stipends and be compensated for the services that you provide. This board has, from day one, elected not to exercise that right. So that's something that I think is reflective of the board's commitment to public service.
Thank you.
I think, Leo, too, is that we can actually probably create like an info sheet of the common problems in Wrightwood of, do you need a tree removal? Here's the contact at the county. Code enforcement, you can file online. You can call this number. And so that way, when we get those requests, you just send that back of, here's who you can contact.
Or go to their website or go to
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly, whatever direction.
Yeah. Oh, you can down on the website, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Tammy. Sorry.
The igniter on the oven has not been working. It's been replaced. It was still under warranty, so there was no cost for that. And there was an incident at the skate park. I hate to bring it up. A police report has been filed, and I'm just waiting to hear back on from the officer. I contacted the camera guy, Dion Installations, to get a price to replace the camera. At the time I wrote this, I did not have the price, but it's $800.
So is that the one that's 20 feet up in the air?
They threw something. Was it the camera that was broken or the wire?
Ew. Yeah. We have it on video. We know who it is.
Oh, well, we know who it is.
Oh, yes. So is there a way to make that person work? Compensate for the damage?
For example. Okay. I just have not heard back from officer for final report.
Yeah, that'll take a little while.
Okay.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Okie dokie. Thank you, Tammy. Item 7, the financials.
Okay, I had talked to Tammy a couple days ago or whatever. In looking at the financials, you got August 31st. Well, there's a lot of zeros. And going back to the previous financial statement, we had the individual areas with
September 21st?
Yeah. 20. Well, no, it was August 2021, yeah. The last financials we had. And all those zeros that you see now were had numbers on them before.
It's because I put the 31st.
Yes. So we talked about it, and she will have that up to speed as we go along. The other thing was the total for August 31st, which supposedly is one day.
7,000 negative.
We show negative 7,004, and the previous one we had a negative. Where was it? 13,005, so I'm having trouble matching up where we are and what we're doing.
It's probably that legal service.
So if I could...
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
So if I could jump in here on the financials, I did talk to the auditor on Friday, Brandon, at length. They're going to present them, the audit, on
November
meeting.
Yeah.
The financials were... just like they were in the past years, they're fine. He's got a couple of recommendations that I went over with, and he's going to present to us in the November.
Did we reconcile the $6,000 difference?
I guess so, yes.
In the auditors? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. The other thing I have is payroll. I show this month payroll at... $7,012.43. The last month, the payroll was $5,814. I know we're off salary and we're paying hourly, but still, that seems like quite a bit of difference when we don't have all staff here, and we're still $2,000 over. Just something to be aware of is what I'm saying right now. Once we get full staff and we know who's making what and what time, that'll probably
And I could bet you
us.
Some of this...
Well, some of it was Lori because she was there for part of the month. But
yeah, but also Tammy's been spending some extra time on the audit.
Oh, yeah, she's been, along with a lot of other things. So, you know... Unfortunately, our parks guy had the audacity to have his wife have a baby, so he hasn't been working the last few days. So guess who is doing it all? Ms. Keene is the only employee that we have here right now. So anyway, I'm hoping that that'll come back to something that we can follow and look at. So those are those type of things. One thing I want to just say again, our bank account is at 127. We're now October, November, December. We're not really planning on getting any money in other than what Michelle gives us for the Tri-Co-op. But other than that, we're going to be very tight.
And it's been like that for the last 3 years.
Of course it is. And we've been smart not to go crazy and giving it away during those 3 months and wait until the tax revenue starts coming in. So just another stuff for us to be aware of. So those are the only things I have. I don't know if anybody else has stuff in the financials. But...
My main question was the August 31st
column.
Yeah.
And it's, Mr. Kinney, it's interesting when you look at the ARC financials and the dollars that we have in the savings and the current bank account when we started it back on in 2017.
Absolutely.
I'm working on my stipend, so.
Okay, so we'll just go ahead and move forward on to item number 8. This is AB 361, the governor's I guess it's about the Zoom calls and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Did we need to approve the financials?
No.
Or did we just
need to? No, we just do a read over. So who's got some information on this AB 361?
I could take it.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, first of all, it's good to be back. It's been 19 months.
19 months.
It's March of last year. So it's good to see everyone in person. And that drive up the pass was as wonderful as it always is.
So there must have been traffic.
But in any event, as you know, we've been, over the last year and a half, since March of last year, having meetings remotely, pursuant to executive order issued by Governor Newsom in mid-March that relaxed some of the Brown Act requirements for remote attendance at board meetings under the Brown Act. In order for a board member to attend remotely, we would normally have to identify your location on the agenda, post that agenda at that location, and then make that location accessible to the public during the meeting. The executive order relaxed those requirements, allowed for the meetings that we've been conducting remotely over the last year and a half, but that executive order expired September 30th. And so in the meantime, there was legislative efforts to modify the Brown Act to address what to do moving forward while the pandemic was still in place. And so the legislature approved AB 361. It was signed by Governor Newsom a couple weeks ago. It is a little different than the executive order in that it does allow us to continue to meet by Zoom, but it does require the board to make certain findings in order to do that, and that's why we're here. And that's what's in the resolution. Specifically, the legislation allows the board to continue to meet remotely during periods of a statewide emergency as declared by the governor. And so we are still under that with the pandemic. But there needs to be a statewide declaration from the governor, and then this board would need to make one of two findings. One being that there are local social distancing restrictions in place, or secondly, that to meet in person would create the possibility for imminent harm due to the nature of the emergency. So that is the resolution that's being brought to the board for consideration. I think the staff report indicated that AB 361 will sunset on January 1, 2021. It's actually January 1, 2024.
Oh, wow.
But what the board has to do is, even if you adopt this resolution, it's only good for 30 days. So the board would need to recertify all of the findings every 30 days in order to meet remotely. In addition, the public comment portion would remain open until the board president declares public comment closed. So sometimes what you'll see, we don't have that problem here, but sometimes what you'll see is the secretary wanting to get all of the individuals that want to give public comment, submit those by a certain time before the meeting starts. But now it has to be, all those comments are allowable all the way up until the time that the board president declares public comment closed.
Mm.
So that's sort of where we are. It's legislation that was sponsored by CSDA. And so the framework for the resolution and sort of the infrastructure which was created is based upon CSDA implementation guidelines, and that's what I used in more or less drafting the resolution. But if the board's inclined to adopt it, it would require recertification every 30 days.
Okay.
What is that process to certify? What steps do you need to be taking to certify every month?
I would think, it's a great question. My opinion would be, I think it would just be putting their resolution on consent calendar every board meeting. Now, I know the tricky thing is sometimes your board meetings will occur later than 30 days after your last adoption. And so that's something I think we need to work through. You'll notice that the heading of the resolution, I left that spot blank so that we can have that conversation. But I think the recertification process would just be to re-agendize it on the consent calendar. And if a board member wants to pull it off consent, that's certainly within your prerogative.
Steve, how are we meeting in person today? Did Governor Newsom lift the state of emergency, which is allowing us to meet in person now, or what?
No, the state of emergency is still in place. The executive order
expired.
The executive order that allowed us to meet remotely, that expired.
That expired. So in order to do Zoom, say, next meeting, we would have to pass this resolution?
Correct.
30 days before the next meeting in November? Is that how it works?
We'd have to pass the resolution now and would be good until your next meeting. And I haven't done the math, but...
It'll work. It's November
2nd. It does work. Okay.
Until
your next meeting. Your next meeting, we would have the recertification resolution.
So if we don't do anything, then we can meet in this building forever until something else changes from Sacramento. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The other thing is the state of emergency and such proclamation has not yet been lifted. So that puts us into the new, whatever the legal term is, as far as we can do Zooms, but we have to do the resolutions each month.
Correct.
Okay. I guess we're discussing it now. My feeling is I like the personal avenue of seeing people face to face, not through Zoom. I have, and I will give them a great recommendation. My internet is always bad, and Zoom is not fun for me. I basically have to shut down every other technical thing I have in the house, and my wife does not appreciate that, in order to get the Zoom thing up and running. Besides the fact, I like to look at people in the face and see the audience and those type of things, and I would prefer that unless something changes, like I said, from Sacramento, I would prefer that we all meet in this building every month. Or, you know, on special meetings or whatever. I know that there's some other feelings on that, but that's my opinion. I just wanted to put that out.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Go ahead. I'm on the other side of the stuff.
Odd.
Okay,
Sadie, now.
And here's why. Because I'm vaccinated, so I can move around without a mask. But I don't have any way to have proof of vaccination from other people. And I feel like the people that aren't vaccinated that are holding true to the rules, which is they would have to wear a mask the whole time, I don't think they'll come. I don't think that they want to sit in here with a mask on the entire time. So we don't have a high attendance tonight. I don't know if that's just a coincidence. I know our last Zoom meeting we did not have a high attendance for either. But I do feel like it's easier for people to check in on Zoom and they don't have to think about the health risks and such. So I would still, I understand it's a pain in the neck, and I might feel differently if I had to go through all the hoops that you're having to go through.
Yeah, change the frontier, would you? Go for it.
No. I went through that nightmare. So I would go. It also saves us the time Steve spending on the road. It allows somebody, if they are sick, they can still dial in. Right now, if you're sick at all, nobody wants you in here, even with a the sniffles, because we're all so, everybody's so wound up about you're not supposed to go anywhere if you have any signs of anything. So for access, I think the Zoom might be better.
Okay.
I agree with Michelle here. I think that just in terms of access and how much people can be involved in the different agencies that we're seeing on the Zoom calls, and I think it's just a lot easier that way. And that way people don't have to make the choice between health and attending a meeting. And I think we're just now getting good at Zoom. I've been helping Tammy with the recordings and whatnot. And on Zoom, there's a cool function where you can actually just, it hosts our video for us. So all we have to do is put the link on our website and people can see the actual video of the meeting, which helps because, you know, right now, this recording, you're going to have to figure out who's talking. Like, you didn't say your name before and whatnot. So with Zoom and that, you can see the whole entire meeting. We can go back to it. It's just a lot better transparency, I think, and just not having to make decisions between health and whatnot and unnecessary exposure. I have a tiny baby at home now and don't want unnecessary exposure and whatnot. So I think it's just for our community. I think it's safer and a better call, and maybe Chuck, we can get you set up here or something. I'm serious, like if we can get a camera set up here.
I have friends here too. Do I come
yeah.
here?
Yeah, if that's the threshold there, the issue, then we can absolutely do something to remedy that. That's an easy one.
We have an internet company in town, I guess.
That's weird. Yeah,
they won't come to my house. That's why I don't
know. Too expensive.
So to
not for the first 2 years.
So to my point, I love sitting here face to face.
Good.
I do that with my customers, and I just enjoy seeing this gentleman. And I don't know if this gentleman would have joined us on Zoom.
But CJ, but all the people that do generally join us on Zoom are not here tonight.
I'll give CJ a call tonight. So.
So we're a dead tie, and there's no tiebreaker. So
we push on to.
So resolution isn't
going
to pass. Not this month.
No.
This month.
We'll work on Natalie. So.
Yeah. All right, so we move forward.
Okay. That's what we're going to do.
Nice.
All right, Leo.
So no movement on that. Right. Mr. Kennedy, we'll be seeing you here.
It'll change when half the board has to not show up one night.
As long as we have three. So per capita grant application, is that you, Michelle?
Well, because Natalie's not on the family emergency, so.
Can I say two things? I love that big billboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the big painted sign.
Big bill, the gas gauge or the temperature gauge.
Uh-huh.
And the little box on my register there is filling up.
Well, I will come on Thursday is my day.
Actually, it's better if it's a little filled up because then more people put more in there. I just want to throw that out there, how much I appreciate, my grandkids appreciate, I know the community appreciates you and this lady right here, Natalie. On all the efforts that are going on, so.
Well, thank you. And there's been a lot of work. You know, John Cazera has still been working with us. He had a Zoom meeting with Tammy and I when we were looking through the grant packet application. And Pam Wright is responsible for the craftsmanship of the board. She designed it, painted the whole thing. Laura Steinman got it in the ground. Well, not her, but she had somebody. I don't think she dug the holes, but she took care of that for us. I know Pam's going to go.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Pam's going to go update that board sometime this week. So basically our update is that we're still going full ahead with fundraising. Our focus has now shifted. We're still trying to follow up on potential individual donors that might donate more than what they would drop in the change box. But then we're also have reached out to the community now through having these coin boxes. They're at Jensen's. They're at the Grizzly, Grimes, the Brewery, the Market, the gas station, and then I go around and pick those up once a week, unless I get a call that I need to come faster. Steve and Vicki have been great working with us with the newspaper and printing up the larger donors that their names can go into the paper. That's been great. So it feels like a really good team effort. Tammy has now recently gotten on, and I can let you speak to this if you like, but she started diving into the grant application pack last week and started working with a woman named Ann, who is at the
state.
She's actually the grant.
The grant, is it the state? So she's at the grant office. She's our grant.
So do you want to fill in on any updates there?
Sure. It was great talking to her. I'm really actually kind of excited.
But just general, like, so were you able to submit the application for the lighting and...
The stage lighting was complete, but there was a issue with it, so I fixed it. We submitted that on Thursday. She said she's looking at it and will get back to me this week.
Does that include the stage?
Yes.
Okay, so both of the smaller projects were submitted.
Yes, it's one project. And then the parks, Anne is going to actually let me do it section at a time instead of just submitting the whole packet, which I think is amazing because I can do it, she can fix it if I need fixing as I'm moving on. She said she'll be available for any questions. She just is really on board. Sounds like she's going to be a big help, which I think I'm going to need. But going over the packet, first of all, nothing has been done. So I'm pretty much starting from scratch on this one. So it's going to be a lot of work. My focus this month is this grant. So just bear with me while I do what I can.
I'm glad the audit's over with.
Yes. That's why this last week has just been...
One of the things that we're waiting for to be able to proceed completely with the grant packet is, and Steve, maybe, I don't know if you have any update with in terms of the school district, we need to show a 30-year lease for that property such that we can then use grant money for the renovations.
Correct. And so I have been in contact with council for Snowline School District. Conversations have been good, and I'm waiting to get a document from her. It may not be a license agreement. It may be a lease agreement. It may be something with options. They're going to want their own conditions, and from what I've been told, those conditions may be tighter language on maintenance, on the district's maintenance obligations. They've got to work through various provisions of the education code that are applicable only to them when it comes to long-term arrangements. So she's working through that. She indicated to me a couple weeks ago that she would have something to me within a couple weeks, and I have not yet received anything. But I would imagine that should be coming shortly.
Does she know we're on a timeline?
Yes.
Okay.
And I had indicated to her that, you know, we need to get, my understanding was the application to be filed by the end of the year. She indicated she would be able to get something to me. But it's something that they're working through internally on their end. So hopefully that would be something that I could bring to the board, maybe a special meeting once I get it, kind of run it through acting general manager, and then you know, get it on the agenda. We may have to schedule a special meeting.
Okay. Yeah, just let me know. We'll do it.
Does the school use the playground as part of their recess and things like that? That's not just for...
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They don't use that. Children are not using the park during school.
Oh, no. He said playground. I'm sorry, I was assuming playground in the school.
Right.
The park.
No.
Yeah.
But that is where the moms with younger siblings are waiting. They either drop off their kids and then take the younger kids.
It's a pass-through.
Waiting.
But it's not related to the school.
No, my question. Not using it.
Okay.
So, Tammy will continue to make that a priority to work on the larger application for the park, and hopefully it'll all come out nicely with the timing. We can make progress on that, and then hopefully we'll get the...
Yeah, I'd like to get it in before December, for sure.
I would like to get it absolutely as soon as possible.
Me too.
So how much money is raised to date?
So, to date... according to Pam, she's working with the Redwood Village Foundation, and that's the recipient, that's the nonprofit that's doing the collecting.
58,400. I don't know if that includes the matching funds, though.
Why wouldn't it? Does that include our 25,000 from the CSD?
Yes.
That's good. I mean, we've...
I will ask her. She was trying to join us by Zoom, and I told her we were meeting in person.
So $25,000 is that's a great contribution from the community so far.
Yes, yes. I believe that I think that includes the matching.
Okay.
But I'm not really certain. I texted her today and said, I would love to give an update tonight. Do we have any numbers?
And of course, Leo asks.
Yeah. And I know we've had some pledges that have not come in yet. And we have another business owner that indicated they would donate in November when preparing taxes, and then they could really see how much they could donate. Yeah. So we're looking at hopefully a potential chunk there. We need to go back and make follow-up calls. Our fundraising committee has had a tough time finding time to meet.
The time frame on the 100,000, is it the end of this
aiming
year?
Aiming for the end of the year, okay. Yes. Yes. John has been very busy at the hospital with the new vaccination mandates and such, and Natalie's been out of town, and we've had to have a little bit of a reprieve in terms of our committee meeting, and hopefully we're going to strike that back up again and get going full steam ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Steve, on resolution number 2021-11.
That's the next item that we're going to talk about.
Right.
Okay.
Let's just jump
in. Go ahead.
The guy who ran the meeting last month, boy, it went forever. I want to make sure we push it ahead quick.
Okay.
Okay? Got to get that guy out of there, man.
It's his internet.
On the first page, Steve. Yeah, really. On the first page, number two certifies that said grantee has and will have available prior to commencement sufficient funds. That includes the 183,000 grant funds.
So, tell me a little bit about this resolution here.
Well, this resolution is one that the state requires.
Okay.
And the language has been drafted by the state.
Okay.
And there is little to no room for modification. Basically, all that staff did was fill in the blanks with identifying the board, identifying the district, and the resolution number. So these are all state-required findings that the board would have to make. I think it's great that the board is looking carefully at the findings as well as the content of the resolution, because this is something that the board is in fact certifying as part of the application. And so it is critical that the board understands the commitment that it is making by adopting this resolution.
Okay. Thank you.
So on number two, we're certifying. Does that, because the grant, I believe, was $183,000 that we're looking at getting from the state, and, we've broken it down, that type of stuff, but the full for the playground or what we would like to use that money for was $270,000. That's where we came up with the $100,000 that we had to have donated, if I'm following on that. So when we say we guarantee, we not only have to do the 100,000, but is the 183, which I don't know if officially we've been given that or not until the application goes through and is approved.
Well, I think Director Schneider might be better able to answer that particular question than I.
Tammy, were you clear when we spoke with Ann? That's a great question, Judd.
So the grant is $180,000, and the project's $280,000.
I believe we have to show for the entire project.
We do, yes.
But, okay, and that's
And that talking. Would include the $183,000 from the state.
Yes.
And we put that in the application and all that good stuff as far as the money that we have.
Yes.
Well, you don't have the money.
Well,
I think it's important to understand that while an allocation has been made, there are still a lot of hurdles in order to get the money, including CEQA and including actually getting a grant contract that is approved by the board, executed by both the state
and us.
The board. And I think the board has done everything it can to this point as far as proving the design for the project, which is part of what is the submittal is, and doing what you're doing to get the money to be able to submit the application.
Right.
But you do not have
the money
until they approve it.
You do not have
until we get the contract.
Yeah, not signed until it's approved.
Yeah.
We don't need CEQA because it's an existing, we checked out with her specifically. What we need is an exemption from the county. Have you filed for that yet?
No.
Okay. No, and you wouldn't file for it now. The filing for that is done. It is premature to file an exemption now because you don't have a project.
Yeah,
you file that at the time that you would approve the agreement, because at that point, that's the time that you would be moving forward with the project.
My understanding is we have to have that
you filed
exemption by the end of this year, and she said that San Bernardino County specifically is very slow with this. Of all the counties that she works with, we lag in this area.
I would get CJ in the middle of that.
Well, okay, if that's the case, that's new to me, because that was not in any of the emails that Director LoPiccolo sent to me.
Tammy, can we clarify with Ann, and then once we clarify with Ann, forward that to Steve and see if there are holes that we've missed? Because I thought it was pretty straightforward the way she explained it, but Steve, you're bringing up a couple other points that I can't speak to. Not the expert in that. But Ann is willing to be very accessible. She was great.
See, this is what I'm looking at. And it's from Ann. For CEQA, you don't necessarily need to do a review, but you do need to at least file a notice of exemption with the county if a review isn't needed. And as Kevin mentioned, this does not have to be completed before the application is submitted.
Before, it doesn't have to be before it's submitted, but it can be.
Oh, sure.
So then it does make sense what Ann said. It can be, and we decided we should go ahead and go full steam ahead on that.
Because they're slow.
She warned us about the lag time, and it has to be done by the end of the year. By the deadline for this stuff.
I don't know where the lag time is. It's just a matter of, I file those all the time. Our offices were in San Bernardino. I have my assistant drive up to the clerk's office and submit it to the county, and we get a conformed copy stamp like that.
Done.
I don't know.
I don't know what the lag time is.
I don't know what it is either. She just specified that this county was slow to process that, so I'll start that next week.
Well,
so there's no problem, Steve, right, with going forward with it. Well, I see the one
file. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's early. I mean, you're not, typically it gets attached to an approval.
Okay.
And you haven't approved, you approved the design, but
you haven't moved forward
with the construction of the project.
Okay.
You haven't approved a contract yet with the company that you obtained the design from.
Right.
For this very reason, because you don't have the money yet. And I know you brought the contract to the board for approval several months ago. And fortunately, the board did not approve it as a design concept, but didn't approve the contract. You'd have already been obligated to move forward with the performance of that contract, even though you don't have commitment from the state. So it does seem early in the process to file the notice of exemption because there isn't a project you're approving. But there isn't any problem with doing it early. It's not,
Is it unusual? Like
it's a little unusual to do it this early, but and they specifically said it's not a condition of filing the application. But there isn't any problem with doing it. It doesn't create
any... We'll check with Ann on her recommendation, and we'll go forward on that. She did say it was a fairly straightforward process for us to apply for early release of partial funds. And 50%, I think.
But I think the bigger question is in Steve's court, and has that's the new lease that's got to come through, because if we don't have that, this project's done.
Yeah, and I had kind of anticipated that that would get done at that time.
Okay.
Is once the board has something to approve, then that's when you would make a determination that that is exempt from CEQA. I think that there are some exemptions that apply to pre-existing facility.
Yeah.
And so we could, I don't think that there's any problems under CEQA to make a determination that there's an exemption that applies. It's just a matter of what's the proper time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe a little early, but there isn't any problem doing it that way.
Okay. So we need to, obviously this is one of many steps that we have to do, is approve this resolution number 2021-11, and this is created by the state and then updated by Mr. Kennedy. Is that correct?
It was not updated by me. It was drafted by the state and your staff.
Oh, we did it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I got a question on page 2 of this resolution, number 11, Steve. Where it talks about the acting GM or designee shall negotiate and submit all documents, including application agreements and payment requests, is what I have circled. I'm going back to when Al was first talking about the grant and things that we had to do that we couldn't, we almost had to be able to pay the bills without getting the state money to start with, and then the money could come in 6 months later, whatever. So is that relate, Steve, to the portion when we say payment requests type of situation?
Yes.
That we either have to get the vendors to say, we'll wait until the state decides to pay you guys, or you guys got to pay us up front, or not necessarily up front, but I mean, first, we're not going to wait on the state, is the way I read this.
Mm-hmm. I read it the exact same way, and I think also the point that you raised about, you want to talk about lag time, that's where you can see the lag time.
Yeah.
There will be lag time.
And for that reason, as soon as we get it submitted and then accepted, I want to then apply for the early funding, because we're going to lose our window on this Eagle Scout thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to graduate in 7 months and be gone. So if we don't get the funding from the state or pre-fund that ourselves, that's going to change that whole thing.
What I don't understand,
Sage is a professional guy who's got a business, and I'm assuming he'll be around. But
what I don't understand, Michelle, is the fact that, excuse me, the Eagle Scout, we talked about $5,000 or $6,000 is what it's going to cost to upgrade.
No, we talked about $2,500, and they said about $3,000.
Oh, okay.
It was $5,000 or $6,000 for both projects.
Okay, but basically, I thought I was hearing that came from the grant money. That's why it was $183,000, and you had said no, it's $178,000, and that's why we had $100,000.
It was $181,000 and $176,000.
Okay, but I mean, it would come from the grant money.
Yeah, it's part of the grant money. She's already submitted the application for that separate application.
Okay, yeah. And the lady up in Sacramento, we could literally break down each section
That's what Tammy was saying.
We can break it down, we can submit it. Originally, they wanted it. She said that they wanted everything submitted at once, but what they're finding
will be a great
fit. For us to get funding, it all has to be submitted.
Together.
But they are now allowing and encouraging people to turn parts in as they get them done, because there's a lot of...
Right, but we don't get money from the state until the whole thing is approved.
That's why I want to get moving as quickly as we can.
No, I understand that the necessity of doing that. It's just I misunderstood that we could get $3,000 from the state on this portion.
No.
let's redo the slides and we can get $20,000 on that.
No, it's
no, it's the whole ball of wax grand. Or nothing.
Yes.
It's $183,000, and then we have the $100,000
to make
that up
to complete the part.
And that shows good faith on us with the state that we're contributing $100,000. It's not all of it, you know. Okay, so what do we need to do here, Steve? Just put this resolution up and. Okay.
Motion in a second to the vote.
Okay. So could I have?
What's our liability on passing this right now before we get all the applications in and that? Is there any liability to us at all by just saying this is what we would like?
I thought it was, if it doesn't go through, it's all moot.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
You mean, when you say it doesn't go through, you mean if the application isn't filed?
If we don't receive the funds, if we don't whatever, we're not...
They reject our application and we're not getting the
grant. Something, yeah.
Is there any liability with us?
There's no liability now. If you approve it and then submit the application to the state, and then you haven't complied with the requirements, and then the state rejects your application or something, then there may be some potential liability if the board or if the state finds that there was something fraudulent or something, some misrepresentation that was made.
Well, that's why I go back to number two, where it says guarantee that we have sufficient funds to complete the projects. If we pass this resolution, we're basically telling the state, we got the other stuff covered. We got the money covered, is basically what
we're saying. Well, I mean, I think for me, that was when I saw the resolution come in from the committee, my question was, well, is it right for adoption now?
Yeah.
And
that would be my question.
You know, and that's not for me to decide.
Right.
Is this something that could be attached when we get farther down the line, have the applications in? It's before our deadlines and that type of thing. Is this the type of thing we could attach the resolution to?
What's the timing of this?
Now or whatever? Is that going to
slow down? Well, when is the application?
Let's ask.
Well, that's what we're
finding. It's part of the application, so it can be submitted any time.
Well, what I've heard is December is all the applications have to be in before then. So all I'm saying is, would it behoove us to make sure that we have the money, because by doing this resolution, we as a board are guaranteeing that we have the money to complete a $270,000 project. And right now, we don't.
I see both sides of it. I spoke with Natalie about this, about whether we should have it on, knowing that we don't have the lease yet finalized with the school district and such, and she was wanting to just try to stay on schedule with things, and so... I figured we'd bring it to the board and see what Chuck said.
Put us behind if we wait until November, December fundraising.
Yes,
it's prepared. I don't see that it really puts us behind. It's just, especially now that the board really understands it, I think that if it comes, if we push it to November, I would like to push it to November, and then if needed, push it to December. But I'd like to, for now, push it to November 1st.
Okay.
Not
I would like to have it in before December meeting.
I would too. I would really like
that's my goal.
And so right. Natalie was what
not
we were hoping.
We approve it though.
Right. Well, I think what the hope for Natalie and I were was that we could get this wrapped up this month and submitted, in which case we would then maybe need to call a special meeting for this. So by doing it now, it would avoid that.
And we can do a special.
But we can do a special meeting. So.
Well, I mean, if you want with that timeline in place, assuming that timeline. We would have to call a special meeting anyways on whatever agreement we have with Snowline.
Yeah.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Okay.
And we could dovetail this and the Snowline together.
No, I'm fine with tabling it until November. Yeah. I hear your points; they're all valid. I agree.
I'm just not comfortable with guaranteeing something until we see where the donations are and how close we are to that aspect of it.
All right,
the reality is we have money that in a worst case scenario we could do, but that also puts us behind the eight ball as far as
sure.
what we're going to do the next 3-4 months until the tax money comes in. So I'm...
Yeah. And now with the playground company, I believe they require a 50% deposit to get things started. So that's the whole amount won't need to be there immediately, but 50% will.
Well, we couldn't
in terms
do
of the payment.
Right yeah, now, yeah, yeah. we couldn't do 50% unless we dipped into our reserves.
Right.
And that concerns me. That's all.
And rightfully so. Okay, so we'll push item number 10 off to
November,
a special or a special meeting.
Or
an intervening special.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, item number 11, archery ad hoc committee update.
You
want to take a
check? Sure. Basically, we met with Peter King, who is Kurt Watson's attorney, and we did a walkthrough of the apple orchard. Both Sadie and I and Tammy were there. We had some concerns, as more so, it's something that the actual contracts and those type of things, I have some concerns, but I would need to set up a time with Steve to go through, because all we heard for the entire meeting is Steve Kennedy approved all of this stuff, and you should ask him, because he was the agreement, and he even wrote some of the stuff in the contracts. So that was interesting. There was other stuff said, which I don't want to say publicly. But basically, I think the most disagreements we had were on operations type of situation. I did not know that the company that they have that's going to do the registrations and that type of stuff is using one town's bank account to put all the registration fees into, of which we don't have any control, number one, and number two is we have to go through people to even get money to pay the bills that they're saying we're responsible for. The sanitation portion, he's talking about 5 shooting areas, which, Sadie, what was it, 6 or 8 people at each area?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's that's 48 people plus whoever comes to watch them, that type of thing, that plays into, the idea of if we're responsible for sanitation, how many porta potties does it take to cover that during those time periods, and we're responsible for that. One thing that wasn't in the paperwork that I saw, but was brought up at that meeting is, we're responsible for the trash, and I had specifically asked Kurt in this meeting, you know, last month, who picks up the trash? Are we throwing Tammy out there to pick up the trash? And he said, oh no, we have all of our volunteers, they'll do all of that. And then during our meeting, it's we're responsible to get to pay for CR and our dumpster, we're responsible to pick up the trash. And, you know, things that kept popping up that aren't in the written agreement certainly bothered me. And, you know, if we want to have a closed session, I'll be more than happy to give you the other things that the person said. But, you know, that really doesn't play into it. That's my ticked offness. Besides the fact that I need to talk to you, Steve, about everything that you agreed to and that you wrote in this thing. So, there it is. I know he's going to say, go sit with Michelle again. She can kick you. But anyway, at the end of our meeting, or near the end of our meeting, Kurt specifically said he felt it was too late in the season and was planning on moving it to the spring. And, you know, putting this on hold until the spring. Peter wanted the board to give a rounding recommendation and put that out so that they could sign people up over. My feeling was no on that specifically. But from an ad hoc committee, and I will let Sadie, you know, pick it up as far as from her point of view. My point of view is no on moving ahead with this at this moment in time. I believe that we need more research, and the ad hoc can do it on the operational side of it, which there's nothing in writing from an operational side on, you know, on these contracts. And I'd like to get more specific as far as where it's going, what we're responsible for, where the money is. If I've got bills from Porta Potty, how do I get money out of one town's bank account? How do I get an update as far as what's been promised or whatever? The thing that Sadie showed me, she looked up this company that they're using to do the registrations, and they get $7 a registration. Well, if the registration is $22, you take 7 away from it. Now we're at 15 that we're splitting 75-25. I'm not, with our responsibilities already there as the CSD, I'm not really sure why it's great that we get into this. I think it's better, and I've said this to both of them, that why don't you do it as your own business, you know, from the point of view of, do I support archery? Yes. As your own business, could I say, yeah, I think it'd be great. I think, you know, those that want to use it in the whole bit. But as far as the CSD basically guaranteeing and putting our name on it, I'm not for that right now. So my recommendation would be no at this time, and no on any recommendations to say go ahead and sign up now and we'll figure it out in the next spring. Sadie.
So my, not as gloom and doom as Chuck over there, but basically we talked about this a lot of meetings, and it was go around and around and around. So Chuck and I took the hold here to do the research, to go through the steps, to try to make sure that we're doing this correctly. We had an opportunity to sit down together and talk about our own concerns and questions before we met with Kurt and his lawyer, which I think was super helpful. I reached out to other CSDs and the city of Walnut, I believe it is. I have their contractor's agreement example and showed that to Chuck, and that kind of got us thinking and talking about how the CSD doesn't have a process to work with contractors and to work with recreation, things like that. So that was kind of just an overarching issue in the beginning, is that we believe that that needs to be established first and foremost, because we've been asked by other people to support their recreation, to support different things on property that's not ours, contractors that are not our employees, and we've said no in the past. And so we want to be able to allow things like that to grow our parks and recreation through contractors and through other recreation programs and whatnot, because we don't have the staff to do it ourselves. So that is the most feasible way to grow this until we do have the staff and the revenue. But we need to be smart about it. We need to be systematic and have a process in place. And so we explained that to Kurt and just said, you know, we support archery, absolutely. That's awesome. We love it. The community loves it. We just are not ready for that as a CSD right now, first and foremost, because we need to have that process in place. And just in terms of like the little things like the City of Walnut, their contractor's agreement was part of it, was a background check. Like, we haven't done a background check on this archery program, and they're working with children, and their contractors are working with children. And so there's all these steps that we should go through as a CSD first, and create that way we're not saying yes to one and no to another. So that was the first thing, and I think the main thing is really just we need to work out a contractor agreement and how we're going to handle this moving forward. And the big discussion all these meetings was really just the liability insurance, and Chuck and I resounding know we're not comfortable whatsoever covering liability insurance on a property that's not ours. It didn't make sense. We asked them, and the property owner has insurance, and what we learned at that meeting was that Kurt, who is the contractor, was actually able to go to USA Archery and get liability insurance. So he had primary insurance, the property owner had liability insurance, And so Chuck and I kept asking, like, why would we even need to get the CSD involved in the liability insurance on that front? And that was the main issue that we were uncomfortable with. And so, again, we didn't want to pass that or support that when it just didn't seem right. None of it felt right as far as that. So we kind of worked through those two things, which are just big picture things. And nothing against archery, nothing against anything of that sort. It's just business. We need to run the CSD like a business and do it correctly. And that's how you do it correctly. And then just in terms of the timing, it was rushed. And thankfully, you know, Kurt agreed that it was rushed. And it's almost snow season. So it's just we wouldn't have been able to get all of this down to make me comfortable to bring it to the board, to get the board approval, to get all of that and going. So I think we left on a good foot from that meeting, just explaining, you know, maybe spring, we're going to continue to work on it. We're going to continue to work on a contractor's agreement and look into the processes that we can do with CSD to support recreation like this across the board, not just with this. And we'd love to support this if it benefits the CSD, if it benefits the community. And so we're going to continue to work on these things over the winter, and hopefully we'll work something out. And if not, I think that Kurt understands at this point that, you know, we just have to make the best choice for the community. And if that means that we can't support it in the spring and maybe next season or something, then that's what the choice that we're going to have to make. So to sum it up, my recommendation, kind of Chuck's recommendation, is just that we continue to work on our business front as a CSD. We support the idea of it, but we can't back it at this point. But we will continue to do the research and the work to work towards it in the spring if we can.
Just so you know, Kurt acquired $5 million liability insurance, which we weren't aware of before we even met with him.
Yeah.
So they're okay on that aspect.
Yeah.
Both Sadie and I said to Kurt, why don't you just do it yourself? And basically what they are asking us to do is they want our name. They want Wrightwood Parks and Rec, our name. And at this moment in time, I know I have too many questions operationally. Got a couple on the contract. Of course, you'd be surprised.
Well, if I could speak to that. One, so that we're clear, I don't approve anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The board approves that.
Yeah, we made that clear.
So I don't approve anything.
He works for us. He doesn't. Both.
Yeah.
And secondly, you can call me at any time if you have a concern. Probably the best way to do that, those concerns, would, in order to preserve the attorney-client privilege
right.
and the confidentiality associated with that, would be to call me
okay.
if there's an issue. So that we're not negotiating that this way. But just so that we're clear on the contract, Section 6.3B1 says the insurance policies provided by consultant shall be primary insurance in any self-insured retention and or insurance carried by or available to the district or its employees shall be excess and non-contributory. So that was covered. I don't know what conversation occurred at that meeting, but...
No, we went, Steve, we went into...
It's covered. And
yeah,
in fact,
covered.
If I may, once Kurt did provide me with the certificate of insurance, a copy of that, I said to him, the certificate of insurance does not include any workers' compensation or automobile liability coverage as required by Section 6.3 D1 and 3. Also, the version of the agreement for services that you furnished to the board during its last meeting contained a strikeout deletion of Section 6.3 D1, which I indicated in my email to you of September 3rd, 2021, that I was not willing to remove. Further, as I mentioned during the meeting, you will not be furnishing merely additional liability insurance, as stated in the revised scope of work that you attached to your version of the agreement for services, rather the insurance coverages that you will be required to secure and maintain under the agreement for services must be primary and non-contributory pursuant to the provisions of Section 6.3B1.
Mm-hmm.
So after I sent that, I did get an email from Peter and from Kurt. Kurt indicated that he was withdrawing his request to move on this now, and that he would maybe be revisiting that this spring. I received an an email from him, and he's been trying to Zoom into the meeting. Hasn't been able to. Well, if there are any concerns that you have regarding the contract language, I agree on the operational side that needed to be worked out. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's stuff that usually gets worked out in the scope of work that's attached to the agreement.
Right.
If there's something in the contract, though, that was problematic, I'm always available to talk to. And by having that conversation, perhaps offline, keep those conversations private and confidential. And that's the whole point why you've retained counsel.
Right.
So, just to clarify, was the prior meeting that we had, public meeting, is that Chuck and I specifically asked about liability insurance, and Kurt said he didn't have it. So we walk into this meeting thinking that, and then that's when we were notified that they had primary. So that is nothing that you did wrong whatsoever. We just weren't in the loop.
Well, no, whatever you sent the office.
What I had told Kurt, though, was in reviewing that certificate of insurance, that's the second point that I raised, is I said, Wrightwood CSD is not listed as an additional insured on the certificate of insurance as required by section 6.3B2, the Welsh Common Contract.
Yeah.
We would still need to be an additional insured, and we weren't under that USAA certificate. So that was also covered in the agreement.
Okay. Yeah, that's the problem was whatever you sent didn't make it into the packet that night. You know, last month, the revised stuff that was talked about, I guess, whatever, because...
What wasn't in the packet was Kurt's revised scope of work. The agreement,
the agreement was the same.
But exactly.
Yes.
The revised scope of work that what Kurt had said was he condensed the scope of work into a single document. Where before he had, it was built into the email transmission. So he created a separate document.
Is this the separate document?
That was.
See, this is what we were working on.
Right, and that was not necessarily the scope of work. That was a breakdown of the cost.
Yeah, and this was who's doing what and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. And that's the part that needed work.
Right.
Because that's the operation.
Right. And there's nothing in writing, and again, in both contracts, the use permit and I don't want to keep going harping on this because that's what Michelle wanted us to an ad hoc committee for. But basically, Sadie and I went in with not the same information that you had received from them and that Tammy had gotten from you. Whatever the reason, and nobody's at fault, it just didn't
make it
to us.
Well, if you recall, Kurt emailed it during the meeting.
Okay, well.
And so he submitted it during the meeting as part of the agenda material. So if you didn't walk in with that document, then I don't know what to say, but...
Didn't see it.
Okay. He emailed it.
You're right. It was just a breakdown of comms. So over the winter, we'll work on this and work through the process, and I think we'll be able to avoid this in the future.
I will say that I think Kurt really cares about this.
Yes.
That he wants it for the benefit of Wrightwood. I don't have any question about that at all. But there's other people involved besides Kurt. He is not the total owner, and he makes all the final decisions and all of that type of stuff. But I do believe he's sincere in what he's doing. Okay. And I believe that when you have sections in both contracts that say, if it's not in writing in these, sections, it doesn't mean anything.
It sounds like no matter
if they say verbally, well, we'll do this, or I'll get my people to do that. To me, it means nothing if you've signed a contract that says that means nothing. You know, the additional stuff, put it in.
You're right.
As a scope or whatever.
Because that's also in the contract.
Yeah.
That through the integration clause, that everything that's discussed prior to executing the agreement is presumed to be incorporated in the contract. So if it's not in the contract, then there isn't any... it's not enforceable.
And I know
covered in the contract.
And I know that questions were asked of him that turned out to be different when we met privately as the ad hoc. That's all.
Okay.
So
when are you guys going to have? Is you guys going to have an update next in November?
We can.
To me, the point of the ad hoc is to get all this stuff worked out, and when you're ready with a recommendation,
and then bring it.
Yeah. I don't feel, but to me, the point of the ad hoc is not for us to all know the inner workings of all of it. You guys work it out together, contact Steve, have whatever decisions, and when you're ready, and that may be 4 months. But, and he said last time at the meeting that he wasn't going to pursue this fall. It was already too late, he said in September. So I'm not expecting anything to be worked out now. I didn't think we'd hear back from you guys for 2 or 3 months once things had been worked out or you determined that you can't.
There was discussion at our meeting, at our walkthrough, that let's try to get it done this week from the attorney. So
sounds like
a little bit different
so
than what you were looking at. Yes.
So to Michelle's point, when you guys have this all finalized, have a scope of work and work with Steve and everything's ready to go, you could present it for our approval.
Okay. So I can't give you a recommendation that says I recommend no, we don't do it.
Well, the point of the formation of the ad hoc committee was not to have one meeting and say no. The point of it was to get to work to figure out is this feasible. And you both said that point hasn't been reached yet. Mm-hmm. You haven't determined that yet, that there's more work to be done.
I thought I determined it, but that's okay.
I'd like to see the ad hoc committee go forward with that whole idea. And I really like what Sadie said about having the general kind of contract get developed such that the next time somebody comes to us and wants to say something, we have something to pull from.
Well,
I've already
talked to three different entities that want to start their own businesses and want the CSD to cover. So it's coming.
Right.
Whether it's the archery or anything else, we need to get our act together.
So while you guys are working through the holes in the current proposal and the issues with that, to simultaneously be creating the general contract that we might use, I'd like to see the ad hoc committee do both of those things. And then when there's something for us to vote on, then bring it back.
Yeah, present it to us. It's okay. We're here to present. We need an approval or not approval to move forward. I mean, to have it complete. There'll be nothing to move forward on as far as you guys all did all the due diligence
in
getting it done.
We got it.
Okay.
Mobile. I wish I was closer. I'd be kicking you
mobile
like
food
a
pantry.
I'm in my baby now.
Mobile food pantry.
Actually, Vicki, this meeting, Paul with the seniors. I don't know if
he's on the pantry. Is he here?
No, he said he was going to be, and I'm feeling they're thinking Zoom.
So should we move this? Should we move this off to the next month?
Yeah, I'd like to hear from him.
Okay.
I'd like to hear from him, but I do want to throw one idea out there in relation to this, since it is on the agenda. We have the Catholic Church doing the food bank. There is Helping Hands of the United Methodist Church, and now we're going to have this. What I would really like to see for this town is a central location. I don't know if the church groups would be amenable to this. But I'd like to have a central location in town where every Saturday morning there is food. Different people may sponsor it, but people know it's not this week it's at the Catholic Church, this week it's at the Methodist Church, and now it's going to be at the Vivian Knoll or Hollis Stewart or whatever, which is going to be not very workable as soon as we get snow. They're going to need an indoor location for this proposal. So I'd really like to see, I don't know if it's this organization or if we need a local organization to do that, but in terms of people really having good access to this kind of stuff, having one location every week at the same time where they know they can come and pick up food would be ideal. And I don't know if that works in conjunction with the team. Anyway, I just want to throw that idea out there that it's like we have so many different food distributions going, and we should be people combined to work together. And
so let's table this and make sure this guy comes here to present this in person.
And if we could get any of the other groups to partner, if he's going to come out twice a month, that on the other Saturdays or whatever day of the week, because then the newspaper could run something like just the standard, here's where you get food, or here's who's sponsoring it this week. But it would be the same place or anything.
Um, Okay, so we'll table that one, and we'll table item 13. The property owners association was going to do a presentation on that.
They are Christmas tree. Trying to get on Zoom.
Yeah. I just got a text from Randy. Okay, now we'll go to recess for closed session for public employee performance evaluation. So I could ask the public to step out. Yeah.